Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Ma'id Kot and Daf Yud. We begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halach of a previous Mishnah, which the topic of these Mishnayos are regarding that which is permitted to be done in Chol HaShemayim, which is forbidden. So that the Mishnah said, Ahed Yetayfer Gedarkei. A regular person could go ahead and stitch in the normal way on Chol HaShemayim, which Tosa points out would seem there would be specifically if it's Letzayr HaMayid, if it's necessary for a Mayid purpose, but that's if he's a regular person. Says Gemara, Hechad Ahed Yet, what's considered a common man? It's Amri Debe Rebiyani, so they said in the Shiva Rebiyani, it's Kol She'en Yochel Lohitzi Meloi Machat. It's someone who cannot take out the needle full, but Vas Achas in one shot. Which means that's a person who's not a professional. He could stitch in the normal way, which is he cannot gather the threads of the stitching in the article of clothing to stitch it, because someone who's a professional, he could stitch in the way of sticking in the full length of the needle in many stitches, and then pull it out of the garment, thus in one pull, making many stitches, and whoever knows how to do that, that's considered professional. So that's what the Gemara says, that's considered a hedyu who cannot do that. And the second interpretation, Rabbi Yisrael B'chaninam, he says, Kosha eni yochal chav and imra, if someone cannot do precisely the hem, b'cheves chaluka, the bottom of his clothing, which he cannot stitch, the thick part of the garment, which from that they make a hem at the edge of the garment, he cannot make it exact. Rather, one place he makes it narrow, one place a little bit wider. So someone that's not a professional could do it the normal way, but a professional cannot do it in a normal way. Like the Mishnah said, which our Gemara contains quoting from, Ba'uman. But a professional, a tailor, he's machlev. Says the Gemara, my machlev, what does it mean he has to do it in an abnormal way? What does machlev mean? So it's from the word of kelev. What does that mean, stitching like a dog? So B'Yechadam, he says, it's mafsia. It's that he doesn't stitch in a normal way. Rather, he scatters the stitching. And the reason why we're calling it machlev is because it's similar to the stitching of the needle to the teeth of a dog, which these are the two interpretations, what is the theme of the teeth of a dog, that they're far away each from each other like the teeth of a dog. So that's not the normal way of stitching, which are very close together. Or Rabbi Bar Shmuel Amar, he says, yes, Shini Kalbasa is like the teeth of a dog, meaning he's not stitching in the normal way, which would stitch one near the other. Rather, the stitching is sometimes higher, sometimes lower. And that's why it's called kalbasa, this machlev, because it's like the teeth of a dog, which one tooth is higher than the other. So either it's like the teeth of a dog, which are far away from each other, and that's how he's stitching it, or one is higher than the other, and that's how he's stitching it, not in a straight line. But be that as it may, only a regular person could do it in a normal way, but not a professional. Now the Mishnah said, Misarginus amitis, right? A machleg is regarding what could you do with the beds. Can you do sirug? Or like Rabbi said, you can only be memaschen. So the Gemara says, my mesargin and my memaschen. What is this machlek is if you could do mesargin or if you could only do memaschen? So kiyasu rabdimi, amur, rabdimi came, he said, plig about rabbi barab, verbasi. It's machlek is what actually these terms mean. Vitavai, meshmei, the chizkin, rabbi yechna. And both were in the names of a chizkin and rabbi yechna. Chanama once said, what's mesargin? Which that's the more lenient interpretation. It's shasiv erev. Is that he's weaving the bedding with the ropes of that the bed was made with, is the warp and the weft, basically longitudinal and latitudinal, crisscross in the normal way how it's made. You could do that for the beds on Chol HaShemayim. But Rabbi Yisi that said you only could be b'maschin, that's shasi b'loy erev, which means say that you could pull the warp threads of the bedding, but you cannot weave in the weft threads, which is on the horizontal lines. That's one interpretation. Chadam, the other Madama said, no, Mesargin, which is the Molin interpretation, that's Shasi B'la Erev. That's doing only the warp threads, meaning the longitudinal lines, and not the latitudinal. Umamaschin, Rabisi, who's the more stringent, he says only Shemhoyed Rafoy, that if this that was woven, the bedding was woven, which they would put their bedspread on this weaving, which was what was the bed frame, basically, around, in the under the mattress, like that was what it was on. It was woven a long time ago. But the ropes started getting a little bit looser on the bottom, which they're not tight. So memaschen, so you can make it taut, you could go ahead and pull it. That's what memaschen is according to that interpretation. On that says the Gemara Ini, the Gemara asks on this last interpretation, that really so? But Vatanan of Techlevi Bashal, he taught the following Braisa. Veshavin, now although we have Machlik, Remain and Brisi in the Mishnah, but they both agree, Remain and Brisi, She'em of Shilin. Then you now go ahead and twist Chavolim ropes, like a Tchila initially on Chol HaShemayim. So the Gemara says as follows. According to the one that says, what is misargin? Is shasiva ayriv, which is the most lenient. You could do the warp and the weft thread, meaning that rope on the bedding. The more stringent that said you can only do mituach is shasi b'layir. You could do the longitudinal but not the latitudinal robes. Okay, Heindig Tani Rav Techliv Bashal, we could understand what he's teaching in the Braisa, that Veshavim, but they both agree, She'im Avshin Chavon Lekechil, that you not go ahead and twist the ropes initially. So although we have certain leniencies, but you can't do this. But El Mandam Misargan, according to one that says that the most lenient interpretation of Misargan is only Shasi Bala Erev, only you could only do the Shasi ropes, but not the Erev ropes. And Mamaskan is Shem Hayudofa, Mamaskan, that if it was loose, then you could tighten it. So if Hashta Shasi Bala Erev Amrit Loy, if even the most lenient interpretation, that of Remeir, is saying that you could only do Shasi, but Erev you can't do, would I even entertain to say you could initially make ropes on Chol HaShemayit? You can't even make the Erev, which is just putting those ropes onto the bedding. You think I'd be able to make ropes in the first place? According to that mandam, it's difficult to understand why we have to say this. So the more kasha, it's difficult, according to that mandam, why do we have to say this in this braisa, if it would seem to be obvious and evident, because we don't only let shasi v'erev, only let shasi. Now, additionally, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rab Nachman v'Yisrael Rab Chiya Barovin, says, Mikal mandam, is there really such an opinion that holds misargin, which is this same opinion that we're asking on, the second interpretation, that Misargan, which is the Molin interpretation, is only Shasi Bala Erev, is only that you could put on the warp ropes and not the weft? But Vatnam, the Mishnah Misargan came that says, Remeo, I mean, he says, Hamita, a bed, is not Mekabel Tumah, it's not susceptible to Tumah, until it becomes a Kli, which is when, Mishi Yisrig Ba, when you do Sirugin it, which is the terminology we're trying to define, of Shleisha Batim, that you go ahead and you weave three heddles, which the means to say that the chassis is already drawn. Those are the lines, as one does weaving, and the same thing is what you do for the bedding of the bed frame. And then you weave in three batei nirin, which is the arev, which is the weft thread. So obviously when we say misargin, that means chassis v'erev. So how can you say that misargin means chassis b'le'erev? Sailor Rather says, Gemara, you're right. Based on these two questions, Ke'asar Davin, Amo, and Ravin came, he said, B'misargin kulemle pligin, no one disagrees with a mayor's interpretation that you can do siug in the beds, that the shasi ba'arv. That means that you could do the warp and the weft, you could do the longitudinal and the latitudinal ropes. El-ki pligi, rather, what do they disagree about? Is b'mamaskin, is Rabbi Yisrael's interpretation of mituach. Mars of a one opinion held b'mamaskin means shasi below air. You could only do the shasi without the air. Marsa, but the other one holds more stringent. No, only Shem Hayudafe Mamasch, only if it was loose, then you could tighten it, but you cannot do initially the Shasi ropes. Now, Mesvi the Gemara, however, asks for the following Bryson. The Bryson says, Misargin is a mito, you could do the Sirug, the Shasi Va'erv on the bed. If it ain't Rachleim, Mesh Mamasch, and I have to tell you that if it's loose, then you could tighten it, that's the Brim Meir. Rabbi Yisrael, which this is the Machlikis, which the Bryson is elaborating on, Rabbi Yisrael says, Mimaskh Navalim Misargin. You could do mituach, but you cannot do siruk. Okay. But Yesham, some say, Imamaskhin Kalika. No, you can't even do even the tightening of the ropes. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Almanda Mamaskhin, according to the one that says, what does it mean, mituach of Rabbi Yisi? It means Shasi Bala Erev. It means to say that you can do the warp without the weft. Hayinu da Asi Yeshayim Laflugi. That's what the Yeshayim is coming to disagree and to say, no, that even the Shasi without the Erev, you're not allowed to do that. But according to one that says that, what does it mean, mituach? It means that it was loose, that you're allowed to tighten it. So when you tell me that the Yeshayim say that, no, you cannot do mituach, are you really telling me that the Yeshayim is coming to say you can't even tighten it, but you're not even doing malacha? And if you can't do that, then you're not going to have to sit on the mattress. You can't sit on the bed. So how could you say that's what mituach means? Because if mituach meant just tightening, then how could it be the Yeshayim hold you can't do that? So it's more, and yes, most definitely the Yeshayim that are there coming to say that even tightening is forbidden. Why? But what are you going to sit on? You're not going to use the bed. It's not true. Since you could go ahead and fill up beneath the bed frame, b'manli with vessels all the way going higher until you could fill it up with pillows and blankets, then you could, that you'll have to be able to put on top of that. So we'll let you go through the effort, even just to tighten it, because it's an unnecessary effort, which we don't want you to exert yourself a Chol HaShemayit. And what are you saying, that you won't have a bed? You will have put stuff underneath the bedding, which will hold it up. You don't have to tighten the ropes. And since you have another way of doing it without doing the tircha of tightening it, therefore, yeah, the Yeshem don't even let down. If it does not contradict the Mandamot, it says that mituach means just tightening and not even shasi b'le'er. Now look at the next Mishnah, again continuing regarding what are you allowed to do and not do on Chol HaShemayit. So the Mishnah says, Mamidin. You could initially make a taner, an oven, which an oven is that which has a hollow inside, and it has a place where to put two pots on top. There's two holes on the top. And so you could establish a vikirayim, a stove, which has a place of putting only one pot on it, and Rabbi Chaim, and you can make the millstones. And you can do this all by Moyer and Cholish. I'm like, B'yudayim, he says, however, you cannot make the grooves of the mill initially on Chol HaShemayit, which the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what is this machavshin. Like the Gemara explains, my machavshin, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you cannot initially make the kivush, the grooves of the mill. What does this mean? Where are you making grooves in the mill that you're saying you cannot make it initially for the first time on Chol HaShemayit? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, it means menakir dechayu. It means cleaning out the mill. Meaning, when it gets older and it gets smooth, so the wheats are not really getting crushed. So you clean it out, which is like you chisel away, you cut away so that it shouldn't be smooth anymore, so that it could be sharp, that it could crack and crush the wheat beneath it. That's the purpose of the mill. That's what mechavshin means. So you cannot initially do that on Chol HaShemayit, but if it's not new, then you could do that. Rabbi Chilamar, he says, bas eina. There is a hole in the middle of the mill, which that's where the grain falls in through when it's getting crushed. That's what it means, making grooves. So on this last interpretation, makes the Gemara asks from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Mamidin tana mekarayim b'moid." Like we said, this halacha of the Mishnah, you could establish an oven or a stove or a mill initially. You could make that on Chol HaShemayit, but eventually yigmum lachton. As long as you don't finish off your work, that's the Rebbe Elazar. V'chamam, they say no, as it seems like from our Mishnah, yigmum can even finish it. Fine. Behudai mishmai. Behudai says in his name that mamidin is a chadasha. You could make the new one. And the Mechabshin of Sayishon, you could also make the grooves of an old one, which is how Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah, that you just cannot make it new, but you can make grooves of an old one. Yeshem, some say, no, you can never make the grooves ever. So the Gemara says, okay, we had a Machlikis, what's the groove that we're making? So Bishlam Elamad Amar Mechabshin, we understand according to one who says that the grooves is Menakir Echai, means to clean out the mill. Hainu, the Mishkachas, Labishana. We could understand how there would be this kibush that you would, which we're saying it makes a difference if it's new or if it's old. We understand how that could be relevant by an old mill, because an old mill needs that, because it already got too smooth, it gets worn out the edges, and because you're constantly grinding with it, so you have to sharpen it, which is the cleaning out of and chiseling away of the mill. But Almandam, according to one that says, what is mechavshin? It means, bas eino, mean making this hole in the middle. So yeshana, an old mill, bas eino lamala, what's the purpose of making the hole? What do you mean? It already had the hole. Because it's old, it's been grinding for a long time. If it didn't have a hole, you would never be able to grind in the first place. So how can we understand the mandam of mechavshin as it relates to an old mill? Says the Gemara, no, it is relevant. If let's say you want to expand this hole, tfei port a little bit more, which just to make it more efficient, and therefore you could have a relevancy of this mechavshin of making a hole, even by an old mill, and it's not a contradiction. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. Rav Huna, Shamilahu Gavra. Everyone heard a certain person, the Komenakir Echaya, that he was cleaning out his mill, an old one. So Amar, he said, Man Hai, who is this person, the Ischel Gufe, that he's desecrating his body because the Komachal Chayla Demayad, because he's desecrating the Chayla Shamayad, the intermediate days of the Yamtim. Which the Gemara explains, because Savarla, because Rav Huna held, Ki Yesh Oimim, like the Yesh Oimim, which recorded in the Braisa, that they say, you now do Mechabshin at all, meaning not only of new, but even of old. And he's going like the interpretation of Rav Yehuda, who said that mechavshin meant menakir dechaya, which means to clean out the mill, which is what he was doing. They did not do that at all, and therefore he said his name Mechal, the Chol HaShemayit. Now, which will relate back to what we're talking about, Dorash Rav Chama. Rav Chama expounded, he says, nikunir dechayim b'moyid, you're allowed to clean out the mill on Chol HaShemayit, which is this halacha that we're talking about. Now, moreover, Mishum Remeir, in the name of Remeir, they said, Afilasus Sharechablov, even the horse that a person rides on, or the Chamosh Sharechablov, or the donkey that he rides on, taking out the Vav, Mutalitl Tsipernayim, Chol HaShemayit, you'll have to cut the fingernails, you'll have to take off from the hooves, Chol HaShemayit, which Rashi says the way they did in the horses in his days, because if you wouldn't do this, the animal would have pain, and it wouldn't go so well, and therefore it's considered a yumtiv purpose, which as Taisa says, it's Latar Chamayid, which sounds like, but if it wasn't, that you wouldn't be able to just ride in it for nothing, but it's a yamta purpose, and therefore, you let it go ahead and cut its toenails. Now, as a Gatintam and Beis, Avachamar Derechaya, but the donkey of the mill, meaning to say that's what they used to do, that they would grind with donkeys, that lie, that you're not allowed to take, cut those toenails of those donkeys.
Why? Because grinding on Yom Tiv is only Letzarech HaMoed, as the Gemara says later on, Yud Beis HaMabeis. So therefore, it's only a little bit of a grinding that you could do. It's only for Yom Tiv purposes. Now, for a little bit of grinding, you could grind with the donkey, and it's not going to hurt it so much by its big toenails without cutting the nails of its hooves, and therefore it's not a permitted activity to be done of cutting its nails. In that situation, a Chalish HaMoed. Now, however, Rabbi Yehuda Shari L'Mishkol Tufri L'Chamed Erichai, Rabbi Yehuda did permit to take and cut the toenails of the donkey of the mill, and V'lukmi Erichaya, and to make and to place the millstones one on top of the other, U'lemimni Erichaya, to build the mill, U'lemimni Amas Erichaya, to also build the wood, which is what the mill is built on, U'lemimni Odaya, and to build a barn, and he permitted all those things to be done on Chol HaShemayim. Not related, if the gear says Rabba or Rav or Rava, so it's Rav. Shara, he permitted Lesruki Susya to comb a horse with an iron comb, Ulamivne Akfita, and to build what people put grain inside of it in front of the horses, Ulamivne Itztavan, to build a stone structure. Rava Shara Lemishkol Dama, Rava permitted to do bloodletting, what's called Hakaza, Lebehema, for an animal, be chol demayada on chol shemayit. So when Abaya said, "Tandem sayei lach," we have a brayse that says like you. The brayse says, "My keys and dam lebehema." You could do bloodletting of an animal, and the aim mind nefu lebehema chol shemayit. We don't hold back any type of healing, therapeutic needs for the animal on chol shemayit. Which place it says that that's talking about even when you're doing malacha, because they're not malacha, that would definitely be permitted. Another teaching, if it's from Rava, shari lechaschusei. And we have all these different halachas from Rava. He permits to do a type of pressing, which is a type of laundry, of kirmi, which kirmi is garments that are thin, like they're called kirmi, like the crime, like the thin membrane of an egg. You let it press those garments. My time, what's the reason? Because my said, that's something that even a regular person could do, which you're allowed to do chalash at night, because it's not a professional act. Now, however, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami Amar Rav Chisda, he says kiturei biri, but pleating the sleeves is asur. That's forbidden to be done on Chol HaShemayit. My time, what's the reason? Because my Omanu, that is a professional act. Because what they used to do is they would take a vessel that was made of parts and they would smooth it on the sleeve of their clothing, which that's a professional trade and that's forbidden. No, another interpretation is they would make these type of creases in the sleeve, which they would fill it up with the bottom parts of stalks, and it would make these type of crinkly shapes, which, again, that's a Maisa Uman, and therefore that's forbidden to be done on Chol HaShemayit. Another teaching from Amar Rava, he says, Mande Mesakil Aro. Someone that's plowing from there, he's digging from there the earth, so it depends what he's doing it for. If it's a Daita Debe Dari, if it's for the purposes of a granary, meaning he wants to go ahead and crush wheat for the purposes of the mayit, so sorry, that you're permitted to do. Adaita da'ara, but if he's, let's say, digging in this field for the purposes of planting over there, well, then that's already forbidden, because that's like plowing, which is forbidden malacha, which does not have a tzarech hamayit, which is forbidden. Now, it says the Gemara Hechadam, the Gemara illustrates what's exactly the cases over here, which is which, how do you know which is which? So, our girsa is mulya b'mulya. If from one mound to another mound near it, u'netzah b'netzah, and from one hole to another hole near it, that's obviously a daita de beidari. They're obviously doing it for the purposes of the granary, of just crushing grain, which is permitted because it's a very little bit and it's smoothing the area. In contrast, the rest of the field is not smooth and therefore you're obviously not doing it for planting. Now, but if shokel mul yibashod benatza, but let's you take a mound and you put it into the hole. Oh, now you're smoothing out the whole ground. Oh, well then, a daita de ara, that's obviously doing it for the purposes of the ground for planting, and therefore that would be forbidden. Now, however, Rashi's gear says, the Bach amends, is actually the other way around. Mulya b'mulya, if you take ground from a high place and you put it on top of a high place, or a hole in a hole where you dig in a deep place and you put it in a deep place, which obviously you're doing it for the purposes of ground that's going to be forbidden. Why? Why is that for the ground? Because the way a person usually plows a field is that he's only doing it to soften the ground. He doesn't care where the plow is going in the ground. Even if it's going low down, he's going to plow. So that's similar to plowing. That's going to be forbidden. But if he takes the mound, takes ground from a high place, and he puts it in a hole in a low place, that's for the purposes of beidari, of threshing, because that's how you do it, because you want to make it smooth the areas so that you can thresh, well, that's going to be permitted. So that's different gersoyas in the Gemara regarding what's the cases of what's making it evident it's for the Beit Dardi, which is mutar, or for Ara, which would be forbidden. Similar teachings, again, they're all from V'amar Rava. It says, Hayman dezachi zichi. If someone's sweeping the ground from the small twigs that are on it, where he takes them away, so it depends. Adaita ditzivi, if he's gathering it for his purposes of taking firewood to burn it up, so he's going to take the big ones and he's going to leave the small ones, because small ones are not so significant. Well, then, sure, that's permitted, because you're doing it for heating up the home or the food, which is permitted on Chalash HaMoed. But if he's doing Adaita de Ara, but let's say he's gathering it because he wants to go ahead and plant the ground, so he's going to be picking off all the wood from the ground, big and small, well, then also that's forbidden again, because that's not a Tzarech HaMoed. So Gemara says, hey, Chadami, what's that like? So as we explained, Shakur Avid Aviv Shabbik Zutrin, if he takes the big pieces of wood from the ground and he leaves the small ones, Adaita de Tzivi, obviously it's for firewood, that's permitted. Shakur Avid Aviv Zutrin, but if he takes the big and the small, obviously Adaita de Ara just wants to clear the ground for planting, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Another similar teaching from Amar Rav, it says, Hayman de Pasach Maila Are. If someone opens up the water into his ground, which is that the water goes through the pipes that are between the river and his field and goes out of his field, and he opens up the water into his field. So it depends. Adaita de Chavri, if his purpose is that the water should go out from his field, like through his field, but the fish that were in the water should remain, well, then that's permitted because he wants to fish for Yom Tov. Adaita de Arab, if he's doing it because he wants to water his land, well, then also that would be forbidden. So, how do you know? So, Pasach Terebavi, if he opens up the two gates, Chad Mi'iloi, one from the top, meaning one where the water comes in to the pits in his property, and the fish also comes into the pit. And Chad Mi'tatoi, he also opens up the gate on the other side, which the water is going to go out of the pit, but the fish are going to remain in the pit, and he's going to take them. Well, that's permitted because that's Adaita de Chavi. That's obviously doing it for the purpose of the fish because the water is going right out. But if let's say he's opening up one gate, which is where the water comes into the pit, and the other opening, which is where the water goes out, that he's not opening, oh, that's obviously Adaita de Ara. Obviously, his intention is to water his ground. Why? Because although it's going into the pit, when the pit overflows, because the water's only coming in, it's not going out, it's going to overflow, and it's going to go out to the rest of his property, and it's going to water his whole field. Ah, so that's why he's doing it. That's going to be Asr, because that's not for the Tzarech of the Might. A similar teaching of Amar Rav, again, Rav says, Hayman de Pashach Dikla. If someone is pruning a tree from the branches that are on it, so it depends. Adaita de Chivasa, if his intention is that he's taking it for the animals, where it's fit for the animals to eat those branches, where he's taking the branches of one side, whether they're moist or dry, for the animals to eat, well then, sure, that's permitted, because he's allowed to feed his animals. But Adaita de Dikla, if he's doing it for the tree, again, for growth, which is not Yom Tov related, that also that would be forbidden. As the Gemara says, Hechelim, what's the case talking about? Shokul Kulam Echad Gisa, if he takes all the branches from one side, so obviously that's Adaita de Chivasa, that's just for the animals, which doesn't make a difference which one, that's permitted. But if he's taking Mahai Gisa, if he's taking from both sides, meaning he's only taking out the dried branches from both sides, oh, Adaita de Dikla, obviously he's doing that for the tree's purposes, because if it was for the animals, just take them all from one side, and then for us, it's going to be forbidden. Another teaching from Amar Rava, that Rava says, Hani Tamri Toichloni, regarding dates that didn't fully ripen. Megzirinu, so to cut it in half, and to eat it like this on Yom Tov, that's shari, that's permitted, because it's for Tzarech Yom Tov that he's doing it. But Maitzinu, if he's pressing it with a weight, to squeeze out all the moisture from it to come out, also that's forbidden because what he's doing right now, that makes it that it won't deteriorate, it won't become wormy. And it's to make like raisins out of it, like dried fruits, to eat it at a later point in time. Now you're not going to fix something on Yom Tov for food to eat on Chol, and therefore that would be forbidden. Now however, a Papa Amar, he says, no. Kiven de Mitli, since it would become wormy, it would spoil if he wouldn't squeeze out the juice. So this is like merchandise that a person could do on Chol HaShamayit so that he doesn't lose if he's not going to do it. Here also you could squeeze out from these dates because if you're not going to do it, it would become wormy. B'sharin is permitted. That's what's known as Het of Dabur Avid, something that you're going to lose something. That would be permitted. That's the case over here by these dates. Related, another teaching of Amar Rava says, Pragmatya Kolshu. Just to do business on Chol HaShamayit is us as forbidden. But Rami Bisabra Oven, he says, but Davar HaOvid, but regarding if, let's say, a person would have a loss if he doesn't do the business, well, then Mutter, then it would be permitted to do it. But again, If not, where he's just coming to make profit, like Rashi and Tosafot both discuss, well, that would be forbidden, because to do business is forbidden. Only to avoid a loss is a person permitted to do business. And the Gemara actually brings the story to illustrate that Ravina, Havali Ahuhi Iska, he had a certain business deal. That Mizdavin Meshita Alfi, he was going to make $6,000, 6,000 coins. Sharal Izvune, Bosacholimad, he waited to sell it after Chalash Amayid, not to do business. Vizavne betrays Alfi, and he sold for 12,000. He made double his money, so you see that one doesn't lose from keeping the halacha. Another story that Ravina, have a massive zuzi, that he was trying to collect money that was owed to him. Bibne Akra de Shanvasa, from the people of the region of Shanvasa, which is the name of a place of a river. So Asa came to Ravashi, came from the Ravashi. Amalei said to him, Maul Mezal Idna Allah, can I go now Chalash Amayid to go collect the money that's owed to me? So Amalei said to him, Kivin de Idna Hud de Mishai Kachas Lohu, since now Chalash Amayid, everyone's around, you'll be able to get your debtors. And Biyem Achrin le Mishkachas Lohu, and any other day you can't find them. So this is like a merchandise that you would lose if you don't do a Chalash Amayid. Vishari, and that's permitted to be done on Chalash Amayid. So the Gemara, Tanna Megami Avedizor Kagam, we find a similar heter, a similar permissibility, leniency, regarding laws of idolatry. That Halach and Halach, as you could go, as it continues about Yudalf and Alv, Li Yarid Shal Akam, to the market fear of the idol worshippers on the day of their market. On the Likhin, you could purchase behema, animals, avadim, slaves, shvachas, maidservants, batim, homes, others, fields of crumb and vineyards. And the case of a Malabar Koshlin, you could even go and write the document and have it authenticated in their courts to validate with their signatures, which generally that honors their idolatrous courts. But since right now is the only opportunity you have, another day you're not going to be able to have, that's going to be permitted. And they should come out some like saving it from them. There's the only opportunity, so we create a leniency that we're not concerned that they're going to thank their deity. And again, that's the same thing we say over here. The chol mayid work is forbidden, but if it's kamatzel, it's like saving, it's not to have a loss. So therefore, that's something that's permitted to be done on chol mayid.